We were warm. Well, we were colder today, but we've been warm the last several days.
My house says it's 69 in here.
Oh,
that's either yeah, it's either a good thing or a bad thing. A bad thing because my balls are so cold, but good thing for what it represents.
Hello, everyone, and thanks for tuning in to the Guardian Hub podcast, a podcast where we talk Destiny and our experiences in the game. We spotlight different guests and communities and are a place to talk about uplifting experiences that we have had. And I am Kingsley, and with me tonight, as always, I have Sin. How are you doing, Sin?
Oh, I feel tingly on the inside, especially after Game of Thrones.
Yes.
Now,
are you going to turn this into a Game of Thrones podcast?
I might. After tonight, I might. It might happen.
Well, we have to at least wait till episode 50 where we're done talking about Destiny. But I guess right. By then, Game of Thrones will be done.
Right. Probably by then.
I've heard, you know, you were telling us offline that it was exciting and I need to get into it maybe. But we also have another guest with us tonight. So we're very happy to talk to him. Rob. How are you doing?
Yes. Oh, good, guys. How are y'all doing?
Well, I'm sorry, Sin. We'll put the other discussion to the side for now. No, we're very happy to have you, Rob. For those that don't know you, we'll introduce you here a little bit. I've known you for a long time. We've played Destiny together. We did some raids way back. Like, I think it was probably like spring 2016-ish, who knows, like when we started kind of raiding together. And then you guys put together a little Discord where we joined up to do some of these raids and turned into a community called Hoot Dog. And people that have listened to this podcast already know about Hoot Dog a little bit because we've had Clear Knight on already. Mm-hmm. But tell us kind of like what got you into Destiny. Like, how did you first hear about the game or whatever?
Oh, man. I was big into GTA, I guess, is what I was playing. PS3 days, I guess.
Is that the top-down GTA?
No. It was the I think it was 4.
Ah.
I want to say it was 4 is what I was playing at the time. And a buddy of mine, he and a buddy of his, they were playing Destiny. And he was like, oh, man, you need to get it. You know. This is a great game talking about there's witches and wizards. I'm like, I don't know, man. That just doesn't sound like, you know, it doesn't sound like GTA. It just doesn't sound like something I'd want to get into.
Why a bit different.
Yeah. And I want to say my wife or something, I got Destiny for Christmas on Xbox, though. I had an Xbox and 360, I think. And he had it on PlayStation. And so I could not play with my buddy. You know, and then, you know, everybody knows Destiny's terrible when you're playing alone. And I had no friends that were playing it on Xbox. I really wasn't playing online games. I want to say Destiny might have been my first, like, online game ever. I'd played, mm-hmm. You know, I want to say, what was that, Burnout? I think it was like a racing game you could play back in the day that was on, that was kind of online. But it wasn't, you know, no massive multiplayer game. But time went on, and he kept pressuring me, and I bought a PlayStation. And I started playing it with him, and, you know, that's kind of where it all began, I guess. And, you know, 4 years, 5 years later, however long it's been, I haven't put it down for long, at least.
Yeah, I know you've played Destiny for quite a while. I mean, we all have. We kind of started on Destiny 1, and now it's Destiny 2, and hopefully there'll be a Destiny 3 as we go forward.
Hopefully.
I'm sure there will be, at least. Yeah. In some form or another.
Some form of another. Oh, yeah. Well, we've talked about, will it be... Yeah, there's so many ways this can go. I hope we know more either way by...
On that subject, I'm hoping there will not be a Destiny 3. I hope they just expand on this universe that they built in Destiny 2.
Yeah, that's a great idea too that some have had. Since we've talked about this a little bit in previous podcasts that we've had, how would you think? I know we've tried a few different models here, and pretty much the only model we haven't tried is like a monthly subscription. But how would you think? You know, everything has pluses and minuses. What do you think would be a good model to expand upon?
You know, I wouldn't mind a monthly subscription if there was content. Mm-hmm. You know, and the way things are, it doesn't seem like they, at least at this point, can make the content, though. You know, doesn't appear that way. They struggle, it seems to me, to get these small expansions out and keep up with them. You know, I can imagine them putting out new stuff on a monthly basis. I would think they would have to increase their staff.
Oh, yeah.
You know, to keep up with it. And I don't know if they have the means to do that.
It's hard to know. I've echoed what you've said. I wouldn't mind a monthly subscription. I can see why some people wouldn't like that. And but you would have to have the content. Now, one argument could be, you know, if they know they're moving to a monthly and with all this revenue coming in from monthly, yes, they would have to majorly increase staff and they would have to come up with a plan. I mean, if they didn't within a month or two's period, there'd be World War III, right? Mass exodus. So it's certainly possible they could, even though they don't have the track record yet. But it is concerning, like, well, you know, would they, could they, should they, you know, move to that subscription model?
Yeah, that's what I would like to see. You know, yeah. I think that would kind of keep their feet to the fire, so to say. You know, if they did it that way, they know they would have to give more content and keep up with it. Whereas now it seems like we get these you know, seasons and mini expansions, and then it's just nothing, you know.
Mm-hmm.
It's what it seems to me is we just get a whole lot of nothing for a while. I don't know.
Yeah.
Hey, you know, I don't know what they should do, truthfully. I don't game design, but I wish the game. They would.
It's always
fun. I wish they'd figure. Yeah, I wish they'd figure. You know, I do. Because I don't think this is it the way it is now.
Well, hopefully with everything in the news, with people leaving, maybe that will leave that opportunity for those. I was reading on Twitter earlier, you know, we don't necessarily need to think about this people leaving bandwagon as a negative. It gives opportunity to people that fresh faces that have been vying for a higher position. That can now give a chance to shine, or new people coming in that can give a fresh perspective on the thing could definitely deepen the actual game itself that we love and bring new light to it. So I've always been back and forth with the whole model of the monthly subscription. Mm-hmm. I don't think the way that people rant about the cost of the game in general, the monthly subscription would be a good idea. Especially if they take the WoW approach, where you pay $15 a month to be on the server, and then $50 every time there's an expansion, because now you're just taking more.
No,
and more.
Yeah,
I don't know the best way.
If they do monthly, it's like, I can't understand. I didn't even know WoW did that. That just seems
I didn't either.
Yeah, like, if you're gonna have monthly, it's supposed to just be monthly, and that's it. You don't have monthly. Oh, and by the way, here's quarterly.
We need $50 from you to play this stuff. Yeah, no.
That's crazy.
I'm not game with that. I did there for a while when I tried out WoW a couple different times. You could get like the old expansions like super, super cheap. Mm-hmm. But when they come out, they're like $40-$50.
Oh, Lord.
Plus your $15 a month.
Oh, man.
So now it's what? $174 a year?
Yeah, that's a little high.
$184? Whatever it equates to. And plus your $40-$50 every time there's an expansion. So I'm okay with paying $100 once per year at this point, because I think if they can keep up with that and drop the content like they've done this time, granted, maybe not all the content has been a win for everybody. I think with these new faces coming in, they can really excel. They can really bring, like I said, some new light to the game.
Yeah. Well, let's talk a second about, you know, with people leaving, because there has been some thoughts either way. I'm trying to remember the timeline of when some of the other high-profile people left. I thought it was about a month ago, but I could be wrong on that timeline. We have the two that just left recently. If it kind of stays right there and we don't hear of too much more, to me, I don't see it as like a plus or a negative yet. Either way, it doesn't mean anything to me. It's just kind of like these things happen, coincidence, whatever. But like, if more people leave and if we don't know what's really going on, it certainly could be a negative thing. What could be like what do we think could be some thoughts of like concerns out there with people leaving? I brought up one thing, like when people leave, it can take time for the new people to get up to speed. You have any thoughts, Rob, or anything about people leaving?
Yeah, I just think it would, like you say, it would take people time to even figure out what their job is.
Mm-hmm.
What, you know, especially, you know, even if they're a developer, they're not, you know, and let's say they didn't come from within, you know, they hire them, you know, from a different company or, you know, whatever, they have to learn the Bungie way of doing things before,
mm-hmm.
you know, before they can even get their feet wet. And, you know, that just takes time. And actually, that's not something we have a lot of, if you ask me, is time.
Yeah.
You know, for content. And we're coming up on, you know, our next season very quickly, which I'm sure they have wrapped up already. But, you know, is 3 months enough time then to figure out, you know, what's going on, I guess?
Yeah. Well,
I would like to think they have the beginning of next year already planned out, or at least a timeline. Mm-hmm. Maybe not all the content wrapped up at this point. Mm-hmm. But from what we've known with them in the past, where it takes a couple months, they have to have that stuff usually ready a month or two ahead of time.
Uh-huh.
We're coming up quickly to the September timeframe.
Yep.
We're what, at the end of April now, almost May. That gives them 4 months. In the next 2 months, to me, that means they have to have the beginning, or basically next year, lined out,
mm-hmm.
have their timeline set up, have an idea of the basis of what they're going to do, have the initial base expansion be ready to go in the next couple months. I'm hoping they have that at least locked in already, if not very soon.
Yeah, I wonder too, like I kind of also, this is my gut feeling, is that actually they have the base, if there's any new story missions, new raid, new this or that, they have the base of it already developed and planned this much ahead of time, but it still takes months to do testing to fix bugs. You know, we know, okay, yeah, then that brings up the funny topic. There's always bugs that are going to get missed. But I feel like maybe even some of these people leaving, they're like, okay, this could actually be a time where like company won't hate me as much, because the base outline for this next fall, whatever, is, and maybe even developed. And so, you know, who knows, maybe this is even a time where some of the main guys can take a little summer break, and it's just the smaller guys that now they have to do all like the odds and ends programming and quality assurance and everything like that. Who knows? We're you know, it's fun to speculate. We never really know, because it's not like this information they're going to tell us. But, you know, things they do tell us things in the TWAB, and things will also leak out through, not leak out, but be announced on some of the developers and DMGs on Reddit and Twitter and tell us stuff. I want to talk about one thing that was announced in the TWAB that I was pretty salty at first, and then my position came back a little bit, but the Zer bounties. And everyone who listens to the podcast, you know that I love doing the Zer bounties right away when they come out.
Right.
And it was announced that this latest Zer bounty, you could not do. It just wasn't possible because of there not being Vex on the Tangled Shore. Interestingly enough, and you know, I just took their word for it, and I was, a quick thought in my head was like, oh yeah, that's true. Interestingly enough, some people had mentioned, well, you know, there is the strike, the Warden of Nothing, where there's Vex there. And then we even come to find out that, well, yes, there's that, but for another reason, whether this is considered a bug, not also, that strike doesn't count as the Tangled Shore. The game doesn't think that's the Tangled Shore. So that's why that won't work either. So I was like,
yeah, something to do with that coding. Yeah. I think
it's like, how DMG that happened.
Right.
Yeah. I was pretty salty about it. I mean, I give the game a lot of props. I was like, how could they not test that? Now they, what was it? DMG, like you were saying, Sin said, mentioned something in Twitter about why or what happened. I know I posted something in a Discord myself.
Right. I just remember reading that it had to do with something that the game doesn't look and see that as part of the like you said, the Tangled Shore, even though it is.
Mm-hmm.
I guess there's something in the coding, and it's not, I guess there's something that they couldn't fix with it. And I guess they were working on that particular fix.
How is that something you miss?
Yeah. Well, okay. So here's what they said, if I can pull this up here, because I think I have information on this. I should have had it pulled up a little bit before. But
I wonder if that's what that looks like. I wonder if they brought assets over. No, because you're in the Prison of Elders for a lot of that, for some of that. I wonder if that's what it looks at it as.
Yeah. I mean, that's in a way, that's kind of what I was thinking too. But here's what they said. Now, they were trying to defend themselves, saying, we do quality assurance testing. You know, don't think that we don't do any. But they claimed what the issue was, that a previous issue presented to them first that they encountered during the normal testing window. And during development, they were finding out that defeating enemies on specific destinations would gain progress from any destination. So in other words, like, you could, you know, fight the Vex on any planet and would count, even though it says you got to do Vex on Tangled Shore.
Mm-hmm.
So they were working on fixing that issue. And then when they did, it was, from what I can imagine, you know, then it had to come to release, right? Mm-hmm. Well, I guess they didn't test more after that, or they just didn't have time because it came to release. So they found out that once they fixed that issue, another issue came up where they found out that the Warden of Nothing Strike is not registering as the Tangled Shore. So who knows? I guess I appreciate that we have, if anything, much more communication these days than, remember, the D1 days.
Taken King?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, I kind of came into the game Taken Spring right after Taken King, and I didn't know any better, but I would remember hearing about people saying, yeah, what's going on? We're not hearing anything.
Right. Yeah.
And I guess I did see that a little bit, Destiny 2 also, right? Remember how it was kind of quiet? At the beginning of Destiny 2, through, it was about January, I think. And I was pulling my hair out, too. I was like, wait, they're not telling us anything. And then ever since that January, I feel like it was, they just said, okay, we're going to have more communication. And it went pretty well from there on. I really have to admit, like, they've had fairly good communication, even if it's always what we don't want to hear.
Right.
So, for whatever, I mean, I have my Bzerr bounty now done as much as I can. I guess, was it you, Sin, or someone else was saying, like, well, now I can maybe catch up some too, because this one can't be completed yet.
Yeah, I am still behind.
Yeah, I am too, Sin. I'm a couple weeks behind.
Yeah, I think I'm about two. It is the one that, and I'll actually tell you because I have it pulled up, the Pyramidian, the Magician.
I think that's the one I'm on too.
I thought I did that one with a Pyramidian, but I could be wrong.
Yeah. Well, we'll see how it goes. One other thing we wanted to talk about, and then we'll kind of go on to some things that we did this week that were fun, is the weapons that they announced in the TWAB and the Pinnacle Crucible weapons. Thoughts on that? Should pull up and, you know, we don't usually like go through the news unless it comes up naturally in conversation on this podcast, but we should probably talk about just briefly what they said is going to be happening.
Well, first, do either of you have any of these comp weapons? The Not Forgotten, Luna's Howl, any of those?
Rob?
I do not on PC have the... And, boy, was it tough for me to get. You know, I'm not a god tier Crucible player. I'm decent, you know, and I play a lot of it. Or I did, you know, I haven't recently, but I have, you know, played my fair share of Crucible. And it was tough to get, and I did it solo. I didn't play with anybody, really. I played a couple games here and there, but like, you know, Ray or D-Rez or somebody from Hoot Dog. But, you know, I mainly did 99.9% of it solo. And it was tough to get on PlayStation, you know, and, I don't like coming up against it now because I don't have one on PC. But you know, the fact that the greasy wheel always gets the squeaky wheel always gets the grease. You know, people bitching and complaining about it. And yes, I agree. It's a they may be a little OP. There's plenty of guns that are almost as good. You guys know if you step into Crucible at all, you see a lot of Ace of Spades and Thorns, and those are relatively easy to get. You know, and there's 90, you know, there's...
Even I get those.
Right, you know, no, I'm not saying that. I'm just saying they're easy to get. And
easier,
they're
yeah.
Easier, at least, yeah. And, you know, they're... Unless they're in, you know, one of these guys with Platinum Elo or something, they're, you know, I can't use it any better than you can use a Ace of Spades. You know, It makes no sense that they're doing what they're doing. But you know, that's how Bungie rolls sometimes. Yeah, you know, it really is.
Let's talk about that more. I do think there's a valid point saying like, yeah, the people complain about it. Now. I get it somewhat. Like, I mean, if you're in just regular quick play, and then sometimes the thoughts like, well, why do we want the sweaty tryhards just coming in and pub stomping us just for fun, just to annoy our experience when we just want to be casual, you know?
Right, so right.
I can understand that a little bit.
The sweaty tryhards could come in with a sword and destroy us.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
It would be a titch slower. It would still be happening.
Yeah, it wouldn't matter. You know, whatever you give them. You give them a spoon, and they'd still, you know, come in and destroy us. I don't know. It doesn't matter. It's a top tier reward for people who are either top tier players or, you know, like me. I just grinded the hell out of the thing till I got it. And the fact that they're nerfing them, I don't know. It's just, it's
do you senseless. Feel like, I know. And it sounds like you don't want to nerf at all. Do you feel like this nerf at least is not as bad as it could have been, or do you still, you're still pretty
well, you know, it? You know, let me, I look, sorry, I don't have it now.
Let's pull it up. I was just looking at this myself. You know, they talk about it's going to be, their plan is to make Lunas Hal and Not Forgotten the only 150 RPM precision hand cannons. And basically, I think I was reading it's going to be two shots to the head and one to the body is what's going to be required for the most
right,
part.
Right.
So, I don't know.
Yeah, I do get it. You know, yes, it's tough to go against, especially if you get a 6-stack or even a 4-stack in comp, and you're going for Lunas Hal, and you got people with Not Forgottens and Lunas Hals on the other team, and yes, it's hard to go against. But, like I said, so is a 4-stack of Spectral Blades with, you know, whatever. You know, you can be using anything. I don't know. It just...
Well, Spectral Blades is also getting a nerf for a little bit of... A little bit of rebalancing, I should say.
Yeah.
I at least appreciate that they're not doing a full-on nerf. They basically, when they told everybody about it, it's going to be, I guess they're stair-stepping it. They just detuned it a little bit, and they said they're going to wait and see before they touch, I guess, Gwizenvest, which is the most used exotic with it. So I guess that's a good thing. They're not going with a full-on nerf. But I don't have any of the pinnacle PvP weapons like that, the Not Forgottens or the Lunas Hal, and I certainly do get killed a lot with it. It does get a little frustrating for me, but you know, they deserve it. They want it. I don't know if there was a better way they could do it, because they are going against, they are, people did use them in quick play.
Yeah.
Outside of, the only other way that I think they could have handled that is say, hey, I'm going to lock these particular weapons to this particular activity. This is what they're meant for. But then I'm sure that would cause an uproar.
That would make me mad, because that's the only min comp is to try to get it. When I'm done, I'm going to go quick play. I can't, you know, I don't like comp, but I went in there to get the gun and I got it, and I went the hell out of there, you know? But I know it's tricky for them. I understand it's a tough situation that they're in, but I think, like I say, I think it's more the squeaky wheel gets the grease. It's is with a lot of the changes that they've made in the past. It's just, you know, sometimes they nerf things that nobody was even complaining about.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you know? Damned if they do.
Yeah, they are. But you know, I would say just let it lie. Just leave it be. You know, people. You know, yes, of course, you're really good players. It didn't take them a day to get it, but it took me 2 or 3 weeks of grinding to get the thing. And then it's a little painful to know that, you know, yes, and we're not doing a whole lot to it, but I liked it the way it was. You know, I don't care for 150 hand cannons either. I like the 180 RPMs, and I don't know.
Yeah.
It's frustrating, but.
Well, I still feel like they should have two options, or an option in quick play where you can actually pick skill-based matchmaking, and that might solve some of the problems too. So I would be fine going into that. Maybe not have it be the only option, but then at least if I know I'm going in, then for the most part it's skill based and whatever happens. I haven't been, you know, I don't go into Crucible, as people know, too often, but when I have gone in and gotten killed by Lunas Hal or even the crazy grenades right now, it makes me a little salty, but on the level of saltiness it's 20% out of 100%. So it's like I wasn't complaining for this nerf, that's for sure.
Yeah.
sodium levels are a little mild.
They're mild. But we still talk about it. I feel like there's still hope, though. I mean, it's not going to be able to change quickly, unfortunately, even though we thought these things could. But they put this last line in here. Like we do whenever Destiny gameplay evolves, we'll be watching the conversation starting today on our planned changes. We'll continue collecting feedback once these changes go live. So it's always possible that they probably will change it, but who knows? There's a very small chance that they might say, oh, we changed our mind. Enough people complain the other way, or maybe they'll even just change it back quickly enough once they do make the change. But
yeah,
I doubt it.
Yeah,
they're probably going to stick with it.
I figure they are. Yeah,
for at least several months, if that.
Yeah. It'll go the whole season at least, I imagine.
Rob, have you been getting killed by grenades in Crucible lately?
Oh boy,
I have a little bit.
Yes. Oh my god, I think you and I were talking last week about it, Kingsley. But I cannot remember the name of the map. I wish I could, but I was standing in a hallway, and I couldn't move. There was grenades coming constantly from two people. That's it. It was just two people. They were coming, you know, one from one side, one from the other, constantly. I had no choice but just to walk in the grenade and die so I could respawn somewhere else. And I kid you not, I stood there for probably a minute or two waiting, you know, to find a way around the grenades, and I couldn't. That is frustrating. That brings the sodium levels up a lot for me. Yeah.
I think it really, also does depend on the map. Equinox, where it's a lot more open,
There's still okay.
The choke points.
Yeah.
But I was actually having fun with grenades there, and I think Sin was with me, and I switched to the Warlock Pulse top tree grenade, Pulse Web, and I was doing pretty good with it. I was like, oh, well, I'm going to play with everyone else and throw my grenades and
get
some kills and stuff. So
I did hear Arc Web was supposed to be pretty good as well.
Bad.
A good counter to the...
Yeah,
sorry.
I was having fun with it.
I'd rather do that than the skips, honestly.
Yeah, and these were skip grenades that were being thrown at me, by the way.
Yeah.
It doesn't sound terrible.
That's the same with everybody in Crucible right now.
But we have one more week of that, and I'm sure we all agree that it should have never been in comp, and quick play, even that's like, it's not bothering me so much because I know I'm not in it a lot and I know it'll be gone soon enough. But boy, who ever thought
this would be good for Crucible?
Yeah. Whoever thought this would be good.
Yeah. That's a bad mistake. Big, because I actually was comp before Revelry started trying to get the Recluse and whatever. And when that came out, man, it was I'm not even touching it, you know, with a 10-foot pole, which is sad because it's nearly a whole month's time. It's almost a third of the time we have to get the weapon, you know, and somebody like me, like I say, when I got the Luna's Howl, the Luna's Howl took me 3 weeks at least of on and off grinding, you know, and that's a whole month you're taking away from somebody like me, you know, that can't get it in the first day or first month or week or, you know, whatever. So it seems like I probably won't be getting any of the pinnacle weapons this season because of this, you know, which sucks, but what are you going to do?
Yeah.
I haven't gotten any of the PvP pinnacle weapons.
Yeah, Sin, man, it's tough to get, brother. And on PC, it's
tough as an understatement.
Yeah, I'm not having a whole lot of luck myself on PC. PC is a whole nother world compared to PS4 Crucible.
Yeah, I was going to say that earlier. Hand cannons have a special place on PC for sure, especially with like Ace of Spades. I think that is the one where it gains better target acquisition without aiming down sights. Mm-hmm.
No, that's Last Word.
Last Word, that's it. And those, especially on PC where you don't need to aim down sight, because that's what PC's known for with the mouse and keyboard, being able to have better precision or better targeting. And you don't have any flinch with that. I'm sure Last Word is probably a pretty powerful weapon. And I've never been a hand cannon person myself.
You really don't see Last Words, at least in the. I think I'm right at 1,000 glory, and even at this point, I don't see a whole lot of Last Words. It's Ace of Spades, and then your Lunas and Not Forgottens. That's what you see.
Yeah, I've heard a lot of it. Ace of Spades.
Of Spades, I guess because the range is so high on Ace of Spades. And you, like you say, Sin, I personally don't play on mouse and keyboard. So, but from what I've heard, you know, I guess the not really, you know, the just point and click and then the range of it, you know, is what makes a huge difference. You don't see it.
Now, what controller do you use on PC? I got to know.
Well, I have not played. I haven't played for a whole week. I was talking to Kingsley earlier before we started. Been working out of town and then on vacation. But I've got an Astro, the new Astro C40 controller that Astro just came out with. I don't know, a month ago or so. And I tried to fire it up tonight, and it won't work. It won't come on. So I'll have to. I have to deal with that in a little bit, I guess. But right. I've got a SCUF. I've actually got two older SCUFs. I've got the just a standard PlayStation, you know, looking one, and then not the brand new one, but the one that they came out with before that was kind of Xbox looking, but the sticks were still in the PlayStation orientation. You know which one I'm talking. The Impact, I think, is what it's called.
Impact from SCUF. Yes.
I've got one of those, and I like it, but I don't like the paddles on the back of the SCUFs. I've got my hands aren't huge, and it's kind of hard to reach those paddles in the back for me. But that Astro controller, they're built into the grips, so they're a lot easier to you know, push the paddles in the back.
Are you still enjoying the Astro then?
Yeah, I am. I like it a lot. It's pretty good. Yeah, I like. You know, I know you've seen it before, but I'm sure you have too, Sam. But it's modular. You can change it if you like the PlayStation orientation or Xbox, you can change the sticks from one way to the other, just like little modules that you can pull out and swap around.
Right.
And it's pretty convenient. And if a stick, you know, get a lot, these SCUFs have a problems with stick drift after so long. And if that happens on this Astro, you can just go to Astro and buy one for like $20 and replace it, and it's fixed instead of, you know, spending $200 more on a controller.
Right. I'm still using my old Xbox controller on the PC when I play. It's pretty comfortable. It does the trick.
Well, I mean, if you, I would highly suggest a SCUF controller. I mean, an Astro controller. I like it a lot. It feels well built, even more so than a SCUF. If you've ever used a SCUF,
never used a SCUF personally, but
they feel more well built to me than that. You know, if you ever felt or used or whatever Astro headphones are, you know, those are built. Feel like they're built pretty well, and the controller feels, you know, more or less the same. Feels like they did, you know, right. Did a good job with quality.
Yeah, that's good to know. I'm highly considering it. I've been using an Evil controller on PS4 for quite a while, and we'll hop that over to when I play on PC also. And I once you get used to those back, the Evil also has little
They have the built-in kind
of built-in things, kind of like Astro. And once you get used to that for running and jumping, it's like there's no going back.
Nope.
It's amazing. Plus, you know, those PlayStation controllers will wear out fairly quickly, the generic ones. But
yeah, I've been through a couple.
Well, and, you know, I think that's what SCUF was, PlayStation controllers and doing their mods to them. And I think that they don't last. I tell you, I've probably been through 6-7 SCUF controllers.
Oh, wow.
And they just don't last. And I was actually looking at Evil controllers there, and then I think you're the one who posted it in our Discord, Kingsley, about the Astro controller when it first came out or when they first announced it, and I immediately made a pre-order. And I'm enjoying it, other than it not coming on tonight with it, but I'll figure that out, I guess. It's been a week or so since I played, so.
You have to take it like the old NES cartridge.
You got to
open up the backside of it, blow in it.
That's it.
And then replug
okay,
it
in with the quarters. I'll give that a shot.
We expect to report back, see if that fixes it.
Yep, will do.
Well, real quick, Sam, what else have we done this week in the game? I know we did some Shattered Throne. We did a Last Wish raid. What kind of, you know, comes to the top of mind for interesting things?
Shattered Throne, Last Wish. I did kind of putz around the other night in the Dreaming City. Oh, wait a minute. Shattered Throne, speaking of Dreaming City, I did get the ship.
Yeah,
awesome.
In the Shattered Throne.
Yeah, congrats on that.
One of the three that I needed. I still need to run the shit out of some of that Nightfall for the Horror's Leap.
Which I have luckily.
And then I'll still
Oh, you got it? Oh, you're lucky.
I know. But I don't have the ship or the other ones. So for how much I do Dream City.
Ghost Shell or Sparrow.
Seriously.
Need a lot. Need to do a lot still. And I did some lore chasing and eggs. I did that the other day while I was doing some editing of the last episode. I kind of did all that. Just would listen to some segments on the episode, edit, and then I would go over and look at like Lowly Dev site, and I would find out if there was something out in the open world on Dreaming City, and I was going and scanning objects and getting those open world eggs. So I'm definitely getting closer to getting the Cursebreaker title, but now it's just going to be a waiting game for each of the Ascendant challenges each week now. That's going to be the fun part, just waiting each week.
Yeah. Fun, not so fun. Take it what it is. We had some fun trying to get to that. You know, this week's Ascendant challenge is the one where, you know, you have the knights with the swords in the middle, and boy, some of those eggs are like way off in the distance, where if, you know, we just ended up going both to Warlock, you know, I Warlock main anyways, and doing Icarus Dash Super all the way across to get that one egg. But otherwise, I guess you got to do a sword swipe, some crazy crap to get some of those jumps way over to the other side. So I just recommend switching to Warlock and doing the solar.
Yeah, the Super Icarus Dash that was nice. Yeah. And with one of the videos that I was watching doing it, it made it super easy. I got over there and got it. Unfortunately, one of them in this particular Ascendant challenge for the week, you didn't have to actually fly to or just like to dash to.
Yeah.
It was just a pain in the rear end to try to angle the arrow right.
Uh-huh.
Because if you watch a video where somebody actually gets up to that part, it's kind of in a crevice. There doesn't look like there's really a direct line of sight. You're just hoping the arrow drops in the right spot.
Oh,
on the
no.
Egg.
Oh.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that one took
fortunately, after about 10 or 15 times, it did get it.
Mm-hmm. There you go.
Yeah, that was fun times. And boy, I know we've done some... I've done some raids with Rob over on a PC, Leviathan, Last Wish. Have you gotten your Midnight Coup yet?
No, I haven't.
Sorry to bring that up. You know, I just had to. I just had to.
How have you not gotten that? If you've done every encounter in The Last Wish, that means you're just only like doing it. Have you only done it like The Last Wish once? Twice?
Midnight Coup for Leviathan.
No, Midnight Coup is what.
Yeah, I'm sorry. Yeah. The Leviathan. Yeah. Have you only done that? Like once or twice, or are you like running?
No, that's you. That's your RNG sin. Once or twice.
Yeah, no. I don't know.
It's Rob's RNG is what 20-30.
Oh, God, yeah. It took me. I never got it on. I never got Thousand Voices on PlayStation. I think I ran that raid 25 times or so, and then first completion on PC, I got it to drop, but.
Nice.
I think it took me 10 or 12 or something like that runs of Leviathan to get Midnight Coup on PlayStation, and I'm pretty close to that already on PC and still don't have it yet, so I haven't got it to drop.
That's insane.
Yeah, my RNG has always been terrible.
Well, then I guess I won't tell you that I got two 1,000 voices on PlayStation.
How do you... God.
Yeah. You're like, okay, I'm out.
Well, you have Anarchy, too.
Oh, do you really?
Yeah.
I haven't even touched that raid. I have not stepped foot in that raid yet.
I've run it twice.
Did you get the first
and
time?
And I got it on the second completion.
Oh, my God.
But yeah, my RNG is totally shit otherwise, because it took me like 50-some runs to get Osprey.
Oh, yeah.
The Nightfall.
That's true.
Over three different weeks.
Yeah.
And I'm not looking forward to Horror's Lease, because I remember the Osprey chase. Uh-huh. Oh, yeah.
I got that on PC pretty quickly.
That's good.
Yeah.
I'm always usually middle of the road myself, and I kind of almost prefer that. Like, I know that I'll get things without too much hassle. So, you know, otherwise it's feast or famine for people to get it right away or never get it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I remember when we were running Last Wish, you know, there when it first came out, every 1,000, me and Ferg and I were still chasing it, you know, 20 runs in.
Yeah.
And, it's just, it's infuriating after, you know, so long, you just almost give up. Like, the hell with it. You know, I'll never get it is the feeling you get after, you know, so many runs.
Right.
But I guess it, you know, if they had the, shit, the War Mine stuff, the
yeah, the Mars.
Yeah, whatever that what was that we did so much for the
The sleeper nodes?
No, the stuff to get like the shotgun, the Icolus weapon.
Icolus,
the escalation protocol, where you know if you the more you do it at getting stuff.
Yeah.
You know, if they put that in everything, I think they would, you know, in Nightfalls and in play now, but you know, it just seems like it takes forever to get some of these things for some people, and then some people like Sin get, you know, some things immediately. But yeah. RNG was going to be, you know, will always be RNG, I guess.
RNGesus. I did have a tough time in EP with an EP shoddy. But granted, I didn't play it as much as a lot of other people did up front. Most of my grinding happened, like, way after the fact.
Yeah.
But it still took a while. Still took a while. Having to wait, what, three? They do them, like, once every couple weeks. You have a shot to get it. Or they open it up to, like, all the weapons.
Yeah.
Time gated and wait.
Yep. Well, excellent. Rob, anything else in the game that you want to bring up before we start coming to a close?
But yeah, no, I don't. There ain't really much else I would, you know, I'd like to change, really, I guess. Nothing, you know, I just wish there was more content on a regular basis.
Yeah.
But, you know, I guess we will or we won't get that. You know, I don't know, but.
You know, I was thinking about this a little bit more, like this year we had the, you know, the annual pass, and then before we had the DLCs. And I feel like either way you slice and dice it, year two and year three always sucks compared to year one, other than like beginning of the fall big expansion.
Mm-hmm.
You know, some people are complaining like, oh, we're not getting like all these strikes and stuff during this annual pass. I'm like, well, we didn't really ever get that anyways.
Mm-hmm.
Except for at the beginning of year two and the beginning of year three, there was maybe a one-off strike or a reimagined strike, but even that was pretty rare. So that's what they need to fix, is no matter how you slice and dice it. And again, maybe why a monthly thing could be better in theory is we got to get more continuous, you know, year two, year three stuff, because year one, both times, Destiny 1 and Destiny 2, with the DLCs that came out, even if, you know, sometimes one of the DLCs is total crap, but at least there was another strike, there was some more story, and then there was another DLC a few months later with more strike and more story, and that just doesn't happen year two or year three.
Well, that does bring up something with the Crucible, I guess. Where are new Crucible? We haven't seen new Crucible maps in...
Yeah.
You know, I guess that's... Yeah. But
very, very good point.
I don't understand why they haven't... Seems like the Crucible team is almost non-existent at this point. You know, they step in and...
That's because I thought they all quit.
They did. I think you're right. Seems that way. You know, they just come in and nerf something real quick and then hop out, and you don't see nothing else or hear nothing from them for months on end. It just, I don't know. Seems like they've almost... I've heard people talk about they want like a Battle Royale Destiny. You know, I don't think that would go very well. I'm not much of a Battle Royale fan.
That's a no from me.
Yeah, I don't think it would go. They would have to. They would really have to nerf the PvP component of the game for that, wouldn't they? Sin, you play some? Do you play any Battle Royales?
That's also a no.
Yeah.
For
okay.
Me,
well, then. Yeah. Yeah. Okay. I wasn't sure if you did or not, but. You know, for that to happen, it would have to be a bland, you know, everybody has the same exact thing, you know.
Right. I've never had really good luck doing them.
Yeah. 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 I don't.
I've never got a winner chicken dinner or whatever they call it, and whatever you kids call them these days.
Yeah. I don't. I've never played Fortnite. I think I tried Apex once and I absolutely hated it. one match, and I was like, okay, that's enough for me. I'm done. Thank God I got it. I think I got it free when I got my place. When I got my PC, I was like, "Yeah, that's a no for me."
No, yeah, no for me also.
Yeah, but you know, yeah, the no maps. I don't understand. If you remember D1, you know, every time a new expansion came, we got at least a map or two. You know, even if they would bring back some of the old ones, like they did the Pantheon map and the Bannerfall map, if they bring back like a Widow's Court or bring back a Rusted Lands or something, I'd be happy with that, with just some reimagined maps. We just don't, we haven't seen anything.
Yeah. No, I.
Yeah, I was thinking that that would be good to have some reimagined
yeah,
ones.
Yeah, I mean, I would take that. I wouldn't. I'd love a new map. Port it over and change a few things here and there. And you know, I'd be happy with something to, you know, shake it up a little bit because it's same maps we've been playing on since what? We got a few new maps when Forsaken came out, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, a couple of yeah, new ones.
And then nothing.
This year. Year two, rather.
Yeah, but nothing since. It's just get stale after a while, you know, playing the same yeah. map over and over and over.
Same I get it. Because, like, even on the PvE side, I thought the same thing. Like, even if they can't get new story missions, I didn't even mind, like, in D1 where you would do some of those Taken King story missions that were just reimagined backwards. And you run them backwards. And yeah, that was kind of fun, right?
Yeah, it was.
Different. Mm-hmm. And, you know, they could. Couldn't they do that with some little adventures or story missions here and there? But
I
haven't really gotten much of that.
Or like a secret way that you can go and get a new quest.
Yeah,
oh,
yeah. That's yeah. even better.
Yeah, that would be that'd be really nice.
Instead of that third door you unlock, you actually go up hallway. The hallway yeah. to the right.
And then all of a sudden, there's a new PvP map.
Yeah, even better.
It unlocked to everyone.
Yeah, that'd be all right.
Well, we can wish. Oh, man, that's excellent. Well, Rob, nice talking to you. Tell us anything that you're working on or what's were some other interesting things, anything you want to promote or fun things you're working on?
I actually make, I guess you could say wedding ring. Make in my shop from time to time. I don't have a lot of time to do it. I do work 40-hour a week job, but when I have spare time, I think I've posted a few pictures up in our Discord before. But, yeah, I've got a little Etsy shop that I put them all on. Once I post pictures of them, and they're made to order. You know, I can size it to anybody's fingers up to like a size. I think 16 or so finger size, all the way down to I made my Christmas a little ring. It was probably a size 2 or 3, I think. You know,
okay.
So, yeah.
Now you said it may have cut out on my side, but you said like wedding rings or like all types of rings. Or?
Yeah, I said wedding, but any kind. Yeah, You know, because, you know, nowadays a lot of people aren't looking for a big gaudy diamond, you know, ring.
And, that is very true, yeah.
And, you know, some alternative. I use some, I guess you'd call them exotic materials. Well, I like to use this stuff called, it's called Timascus, and it's titanium Damascus is what it's called. It's just basically multiple layers of titanium, basically forged, smashed together, heated up, and you know, I don't do that part, but I buy it in like a rod, like a 1 foot by 1 inch round by 1 foot long rod. And you can heat it up and you heat it with a torch and it changes, you know, turn multitude of colors. Or there's even a process called anodizing. If you know what anodizing aluminum is, like, and I think is it Apple that uses a lot of anodized aluminum. It's not that, because that actually requires a dye.
Okay.
This is actually done by electricity. You take and just put your positive. I have a power supply, puts out 120 volts up to 120 volts. I can adjust it from 0 to 120, and you basically just put the piece you're wanting to anodize in a bath. It's distilled water and borax, which is like use it to wash your clothes also, or like a detergent booster. But you put a little bit of that down in the water, and then you take a piece of lead, or you can even, they say lead works the best, but I don't have any lead. I just use a spoon from in the house, just something metal. And you put your negative lead power supply onto it, and then you use a piece of titanium wire and make like a hook. Or whatever, and connect and hook your hook, just like put the ring around the hook and put your positive lead on it, and then dip it down in that bath and then turn your voltage up, and it changes colors immediately. It's pretty impressive. If you guys want to go to YouTube or Google or something, look up anodizing titanium. It's a crazy process, and it's instant. It's not like it takes, you know, minutes or anything. Sometimes I'll turn it up to, and there's a chart online I found to know what voltage to turn it up to, you know, get what color you want. But you can get greens and blues and pinks and purples and like a yellowy color or bronze at a lower voltage. And Yeah, so I do a lot of that, a lot of anodizing titanium. But
I was just saying it sounds high tech.
Yeah, and it's really not. It's actually pretty low tech, really. See the setup.
Well, yeah. But,
and I use carbon fiber, stainless steel, and there's some stuff called they call it makumegane. It's a Japanese form of it's basically copper and bronze. I think copper and bronze, or copper and bronze, and they basically do the same thing. They just kind of forge them together, and then it's really a pretty. It's like a goldish. It's almost, you know, if you like the way gold, you know, gold looks, and not pay the money for gold. I have not worked with that, but I haven't gotten it. But I want to get some of that, but it's a little harder to get a hold of. What I've noticed, but I do use, even do just regular stainless steel and things like that. But my favorite stuff to use is either or even regular titanium without the different alloys of titanium. The Timascus, I use a lot of titanium also, which is pretty cool. But and then I have like glow stuff. I think I've seen some of the rings that I, like, shine a UV light on, and it's basically just a powder.
Okay.
And you can, I make like a channel in the ring, pour that powder in there, and then you put super glue with it, and then, you know, make your mound of powder higher than the ring, and then you can use a UV light, your flashlight on your phone, being outside, powers it up, and then the ring will glow for hours after.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
That's actually pretty interesting stuff.
Yeah.
And didn't you make your own desk too?
Oh, yeah. I do a little bit of woodwork too. Not a whole lot, but I made a PC desk, which I really don't use. The PC sits over there, but I don't sit at it.
All I have to say is that's more, I remember seeing the picture, and that's more than a little bit.
It looked nice.
Yeah, it was pretty cool. It came out a lot better than I had envisioned. And I thought, I'll give it a shot, but I like it. I made wife a little bench for a bedroom that she had, basically her closet room. Made her a bench, a wooden bench out of just 2x4s, and then took and stained it and put it in there and made it all look all nice. So yeah, I'm into all kinds of things.
Yeah, well, that's great. What's the name of your Etsy shop? Or we'll also have it in our show notes.
It is the Raging Cajun Ring Company.
Ooh,
awesome. Yeah.
Yes, I love the name.
Does it come with hot sauce?
Yeah.
Too?
Oh, yeah. Sure. A little bit of hot sauce and some crawfish. Yeah.
Yeah. I like Cajun food.
Oh yeah.
Yum yum.
Yeah. That email address. I got an email address. Cajun Co. Hall. So if you have any questions or any of that, you can email there also.
Great. Yeah, we'll put that in the show notes. Anything else? You know, like we mentioned, Rob's over at Hoot Dog and good person to play with. Do you like playing comp Crucible with people? Always need more people to play with?
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. Mm-hmm. That BattleNet is Rob13-1881, I believe. Trying not to lie to you here. I don't know exactly what it is. I think that's what it is.
All right. Well, 8675309.
Yeah, there you go.
Well, everyone listening, we'll have it in the look at all the stuff's in the show notes. So yeah, Rob plays on PC, and awesome person to play with. You don't have any Twitter or anything, Rob, you want to promote, or anything else?
Twitter's the Raging Cajun, I think.
Raging Cajun?
Yeah, the Raging Cajun Ring.
Great. Well, excellent. It's been such a pleasure having you on.
Yeah, guys, thank y'all for having me.
Yeah.
Sin. Spoiler alert. Yes. What? Game of Thrones. Well, she's amazing. Oh my God. Tonight.
Here we go.
Oh my God.
This podcast has now Welcome. Come to an end.
The Game of Thrones Hub podcast. Oh, yes. No.
Hey, I mean,
I won't spoil it.
I mean, I can't be a co-host on that podcast because I don't know anything that's going on. Well, I'm sure it's exciting. You know, I've definitely gotten to shows before, but I just haven't had time to start that one yet.
Mm-hmm.
But
it's good.
Do tell the people how they can find you, Sin?
You can find me all across the web at Sin Media, kind of. You can find me at twitch.tv/Sin Media. Sin is C-Y-N. And Twitter, Sin_media. Don't forget the underscore.
Well, what if they want to?
Again, like I said last week, you'll find a blank account that nobody uses and that I can't get for some reason.
That happens. That happens. I know. Like I mentioned too, you can find me at Kingsley Mac on PlayStation and on Twitch. I usually just do occasional Twitch if I'm raiding, but on Twitter, I am MC Kingsley. So find me that way. And
or don't.
Yeah. Right. Or just don't listen to us. Don't care. But if you're listening this far, you probably know how to find us. But just in case you don't, our website is theguardianhub.com. And we also have a Twitter, The Guardian Hub. So as always, we thank you all for listening and check out all the links. And we'll talk to you next time. Goodbye.
Bye.
Bye-bye. You can find me in the club. Bottle full of bug. My mom got what you need if you're into feeling balls.
Hi, Craig.